I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today, the Pirates writers got to talk with Todd Tomczyk, who is the athletic trainer, essentially, of the Pirates. And he sort of filled them in a little bit on some of the injuries and some of the guys and where they're at and their rehab and things. So whenever we have Pirates news, and really when we don't even have Pirates news, we like to have our next guest on, Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. Jason, this is about day 8 or 9 for, you know, you to be, I think, indoors. For someone as active as you, this has got to be driving you crazy.
It's driving me nuts, Paul. Absolutely. I have found plenty of stuff to write about and plenty of work to do, but I don't think I've left my house since Saturday, maybe. I mean, as I was down at the Pirates and Food Bank charity event, but other than that, I have not left and going a little stir-crazy, but I nonetheless appreciate the opportunity to write about some stuff and do some stuff, but you're right, it's been a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, a lot, you know, we're all in the same boat. So, but there are some people who are very good at being couch potatoes, and you are don't strike me as somebody who would really play that role very well.
No, I stink. I definitely stink. My wife would attest to that. I'm terrible at resting. I'm terrible at the off season. Dating back to my time on hockey, we used to have a certain amount of fear when the off season approached because I functioned a lot better in season, and then I come home in the off season and I want to try to do everything and touch everything and control everything, and she reminds me that she keeps this house running throughout the year without my help, and which is a good reminder. So yeah, no, we've just been trying to not drive each other crazy, which is code for me not driving everybody else crazy. So I've been doing my best, but I do not relax well. That is correct.
Well, today you got to talk to Todd Tomczyk, and I guess he filled you in on some things with Jameson Taillon and Stephen Brault and a couple of the other guys. I mean, what were some of the highlights from that discussion?
Yeah, I'll just take you through it real quick. As far as the players that Todd talked about, Jameson Taillon is throwing from 120 feet before he was at 105. That is the max for his throwing program coming back from a second Tommy John surgery. His next progression will be, you know, throwing off flat ground and then throwing off a mound and working up from there, but it doesn't really extend further than 120 feet. Stephen Brault has not thrown. The last time he threw in a game was February 28th. Obviously, he didn't have a lot of chance to or any chance to throw in a game since, I think, March 13th or whenever they suspended spring training. But he's got a left shoulder strain. He's still not throwing, building up his lower body. Todd said, you know, obviously if the season started today, Stephen Brault and Clay Holmes would both be on the injured list. They hope that he's going to start throwing soon. Clay Holmes has a right foot fracture. He's doing some stuff from like 75 to 90 feet, I believe, like throwing from one knee and, you know, basically trying to do anything they can to get his arm in shape and not lose too much there. So, I mean, those are the three players he addressed. Todd also addressed some of the coronavirus precautions that the Pirates have taken and also kind of what they're telling their players, which is exactly what, you know, the CDC and the government is telling all of us, to stay home, avoid large groups and all that fun stuff.
Do you get any sense of when sort of baseball people think that they might be able to get some form of workouts going again?
Well, I've been hearing the beginning of June for a, best case scenario season start time period. So that would tell me that they think they can get workouts in before that. I find the beginning of June, based on everything we see in the news and whatever, to be a little bit lofty, just because, you know, you're not going to go for 3 days and then start games. So, you know, if you follow the CDC's recommendations, that takes us into the second week of May, and that's basically then incumbent on having a two-week spring training, which I don't think there's a lot of appetite for around the league. I mean, I think they could do it, but, you know, maybe past June 1st, you know, maybe we look at the second week of June, start of July. I do think they, you know, obviously want to have a season. They want to do whatever they can, get as creative as possible to have a season. But I, you know, I've been hearing optimistically June. I just have some doubts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a little bit optimistic. Now, is there any chance that they could start the season, Jason, with no fans?
Yeah, this is something that I've kicked around with some people, and, you know, I've gotten different answers. You know, some people think it's a good idea. Maybe that's something they could do. And then probably a larger group that I've heard from is a little bit doubtful that that would be possible. And I understand the reasons why. If you think about a baseball game and what it takes to put one on and not with any fans, there's more than 50 people in one place just for between, you know, clubhouse guys and support staff and medical staff and players, coaches, all that stuff, you know, for one team, let alone two. So, I mean, theoretically, you're going to speed past the recommendations at this point. Now, if they lighten those, if they say, you know, okay, you can go do things in groups of, you know, 100 or 200 or maybe don't even put a number on it and they okay that, I think there would be an appetite for it from baseball's perspective to get things going. I think what baseball is worried about is doing that for any length of time. You know, if that's a one-week thing, a two-week thing or whatever, just to get this thing off the ground, I think people would be cool with it. I just don't think they want to get into a scenario where they're playing, you know, 3, 4, 6 weeks of games with no fans, because then you're losing out just on a ton of revenue and it doesn't make sense.
And I think that is going to be the balance that really they're going to have to find and strike. And that's why when you say, you know, start of June, if they're really going to think about doing that, it might be the first week they have to play without fans or 2 weeks or something. And I can't imagine with all of the things that have gone on and the revenue that they've already lost that that is something anybody really wants to do.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of what we're seeing now come out with the MLB and MLBPA negotiations, you know, they're talking about a lot of doubleheaders, a willingness to extend the season past its original date. Maybe you have to get creative with playoffs, play them in warm weather cities or dome stadiums, all of which I think is a reasonable way of doing things. And, you know, I think that probably makes more sense than playing games without fans, just for the sake of playing. And, you know, I'm just not of the mind, and I'm probably a dissenting opinion on this, but, you know, the adherence to playing a 162-game schedule, I'd be fine with if they can get in 120, 100, you know, whatever they can get in and, you know, not have the season stretch until Christmas, not play doubleheaders every day of the week. Like, you know, if you play two doubleheaders a week and you make them 2 7-inning games and you maybe play with some roster rules, I can see that. But I don't know what that would extrapolate out to games-wise. I think it gets a little crazy if you try to say, you know, we're going to play regular season games into November. I mean, November in Pittsburgh? Come on. I mean, you can't. You can't be counting on that. And, you know, if you want to say, look, we're going to play through October, maybe try to fudge the schedule a little bit late where you're finishing with warm weather / indoor cities, I guess I get it. But, you know, at the same time, they want to pick up wherever the schedule is at that point. What I mean is, you know, if they pick up on June 13th, they want to play wherever teams are on June 13th. They don't want to rework the schedule. So I don't think you're going to see them just rework the end. It is a tricky equation here.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see how they get it all in. I think it was you that I heard talking about day-night doubleheaders.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways they can do it, but I just hope that they don't completely, you know, do crazy things, you know, to the season and make it so that it's not even looking like baseball.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'd be okay with a few of them. Like, I wouldn't have any problem with playing two on Sunday. You know, maybe you sprinkle one in the other parts of the week. But, you know, another thing, and this has come out, and I wrote about this a little bit this morning, you're going to have to try to get creative with ways to end games early. And they've wanted to maybe tinker with starting extra innings with a guy on second. And just imagine the scenario that if you've got doubleheaders every Sunday, on Saturday night you go to extra innings, and let's even say it's after a rain delay or something like that, and you've got, you know, 14 or 18 innings of baseball the next day, I don't think you want that existing game to go into 3 in the morning or something crazy. I mean, you've got to be okay, you know, trying something that some people might think is a little bit gimmicky. I just think you need to be a little bit wary of how much you commit to with doubleheaders and really loading the schedule versus just being okay with playing 120 games or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, you know, the telltale thing is what owners feel like they can get away with without really irritating the players too much. Because I think players understand that, you know what, they could be, you know, their bodies could break down, you know, and it's more, and then it becomes more trouble than it's worth. So they can't try and squeeze. You know what I mean? What's that saying? Something about like 5 pounds of sugar in a 3-pound bag or whatever that saying is?
I don't think they use the word sugar, Paul, but I know what you mean. yeah, and, you know, I was talking to somebody today who brought up an interesting point about next year, and not only in the context of, like, how late do you play and then what that affects. So, like, if you play into December and then we're going to turn around and do spring training the second week of February in 2021, like, that's not much of a break. And at the same time, like, guys have innings limits where you normally don't see the progression of a pitcher jump by more than 20% in a given year. So if you're going to try to build guys up on a grander scale and he's only throwing – you know, 100 innings this year because that's all the available innings, and then all of a sudden, you know, a team's going to want 200 innings out of a guy the next year. Like, that's not a safe jump based on all the research and science we have. So, I mean, it's going to have effects. I just think you need to take the best that you can get with, you know, at the same time doing what you said and being a little bit sensible, being a little bit realistic about it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just it now. I mean, the Pirates – the other day, I thought it was pretty cool, the Pirates players all buying those pizzas and everything else. I mean, this is a team that's got some pretty good guys on it, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And this isn't like a homer comment. I know somebody might hear this and say, oh, Mackey's defending the Pirates or whatever. But, like, they've done really well over the past couple of days. You know, on Saturday, they held a really interesting charity event. I went down to it and covered it, where they basically had like a drive-up food drive where, you know, anybody who needed food could get in a car and pick up for multiple people or whatever. And, you know, the Pirates and the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank partnered to put this on and hand out a whole lot of food. And then, you know, Pirates players buying lunch for Allegheny General Hospital workers. Derek Holland, this is kind of under the radar just because it wasn't Pittsburgh, but donated $10,000 of his own money to the Fort Worth and Dallas police departments to buy them lunch from local businesses as well. And, you know, without those things happening, Paul, I mean, this is a fun team to cover. There's just genuinely good dudes in that clubhouse. Like, some of them are quiet, you know, but Brian Reynolds, he's not the world's most quotable guy, but he's a really nice guy. And I like covering them. They're a good team to cover. Just, you know, you obviously want to see them play better baseball, and you probably want to see the owner spend more money, and those are fair critiques.
No, that is, but I thought that was, you know, that said a lot, especially, I think, especially since if I read it correctly, the players had a group text and sort of got together, and this was sort of their own idea.
Yeah, it wasn't even facilitated. I mean, I think the team, like, helped them facilitate it. And as I understand it, Jameson Taillon was kind of the ringleader of the whole thing. And, you know, they basically said, like, okay, how do we logistically pull this off? But it was the players' idea. The players funded it. And all that stuff. And you see, like, Nick Birdie on social media now has turned into, like, the Pirates' blood donation coordinator, which is cool. Like, he barely donated blood, and now all of a sudden, like, he's kind of thrust himself into this role as spokesperson, exhorting people to donate blood. It's just awesome to see that stuff, man. And they've done a really good job. And you know what? A separate point, I was just texting with somebody about this. Like, I see other sports, other teams, and I'm not picking it on anybody, where from a media perspective, it's very tough to get anything out of anybody, and not a lot of people are talking. And, you know, media relations-wise, they've made sure we got Todd Tomczyk on a conference call today, Derek Shelton last week, Jameson Taillon spoke. They've fulfilled other requests in the meantime, one of which, you know, I'm sitting on and I don't want to say publicly, but, like, you know, they've been very cooperative with media in a difficult time, and they've done it, shoot, better than anybody I've seen in terms of, like, making sure there's stuff to write about, stuff to talk about, trusting their players and coaches to speak on a difficult subject. So it's been very much appreciated from a media perspective as well.
Jason, hey, thank you so much for taking some time. And, you know, obviously keep yourself safe and your family safe. And let's hope we can get through this in a reasonable time.
Will do. Same to you, Paul. Take care, man. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.